I'm Martine Helou-Allen, and welcome to Righteous Interruption, a podcast for those who courageously and passionately seek ways to go beyond their status quo and thrive through a life well lived. Thank you for joining today's episode as we level up and thrive together. Sin deserves your respect. I know I'm going to let that sink in for just a second. That is the righteous interruption for today, that sin indeed deserves respect. Luke 22:53 says, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." As we always do, I refer to Oswald Chambers as my utmost for his highest devotion, because he has this really uncanny, amazing, God-given way of bringing readers to a righteous interruption with every one of his devotions, and which is really how I came up with this concept of righteous interruption. So we have so many different interruptions in our life, right? Things that don't go perfectly. That's life itself. But our response to that can either be righteous or unrighteous. And with this podcast, I really wanted to hone in on the fact that we get great endless opportunities to decide how we're going to respond to interruptions in our life. And we will not be able to respond righteously or even rightly to those interruptions unless we have the wisdom of Christ, the wisdom of God himself, in guiding our response to that situation. So the tagline that I made for this podcast, Righteous Interruption, is the encouragement to transform, the supernatural power to thrive. Because I want to encourage you to be uncomfortable, to transform yourself, to address issues in your life in a way that maybe you never have before. But I also want you to understand that on the backside of that, what's going to carry you through is something supernatural. It's a supernatural power through truth, which is unchanging and unaltering, that will allow for you, if you let it, to thrive out of that situation. So going back to our topic today, sin deserves respect. Oswald Chambers' profound reflection on that verse should set us all back on our heels, and I'm going to read it here in the moment, causing us to pause and self-reflect. So I want you to listen to this in light of that statement, that if you really get it, it will indeed put you back on your heels as it did me, which is the reason why I thought it was so important to share this with you. Reconciling yourself to the fact of sin. Not being reconciled to the fact of sin, not recognizing and refusing to deal with it, produces all the disasters in life. You may talk about the lofty virtues of human nature, but there is something in human nature that will mockingly laugh in the face of every principle you have. If you refuse to agree with the fact that there is wickedness and selfishness, or something downright hateful and wrong, in human beings, then when it attacks you in life, instead of reconciling yourself to it, you will compromise with it and say that it is of no use to battle against it. Have you taken this quote-unquote hour and the power of darkness into account, or do you have a view of yourself which includes no recognition of sin whatsoever? In your human relationships and friendships, have you reconciled yourself to the fact of sin? If not, then just around the corner, you will find yourself trapped and you will compromise with it. But if you will reconcile yourself to the fact of sin, you will realize the danger immediately and say, "Yes, I see what this sin would mean." The recognition of sin does not destroy the basis of friendship. It simply establishes a mutual respect for the fact that the basis of sinful life is disastrous. And always be aware of any assessment of life which does not recognize the fact that there indeed is sin. Jesus Christ never trusted human nature, yet he was never cynical nor suspicious, because he had absolute trust in what he could do for human nature. The pure man or woman is the one who is shielded from harm, not the innocent person. The so-called innocent man or woman is never safe. Men and women have no business trying to be innocent. God demands that they be pure and virtuous. Innocence is the characteristic of a child. Any person is deserving of blame if he is unwilling to reconcile himself to the fact of sin. We'd all love to live in a perfect world. And yeah, this is me now, not Oswald talking to you. So we would all love to live in this perfect world where no one is sinful and everyone is wonderful and whatnot, but it's just not the case. And we're seeing it, I think, more and more these days as more things are permitted in our society, more excuses are being made for sinful actions. And really, at the core of that is moral relativism, right? And I think that with moral relativism, what we have is actually the very opposite of respect for sin. And I'm not saying reverence for sin. I'm saying respect for sin, meaning to acknowledge the power that it has in creating a lot of stuff we don't like, right? And the power that it has to manipulate situations and the power that it has to cultivate chaos and imperfection. With moral relativism, there is no definition, right? There's no line that you will cross and then, oh, that's it. You know, that is, it's either black or white. You don't have that in moral relativism. Everything is kind of gray. So it's relatively more like it relates to what you think is moral as a person, which also ties into my own truth, your own truth. Well, guess what? You and I can't have our own truths and both of us be right unless it's the same truth and it is one truth. So I think we're facing a lot of that right now in our society, and the fact that in actuality, sin is not being given respect for the power that it has to destroy. So that's what I want to get across to you. And that if you would respect the mechanism, right, of sin in people's lives and really look at it for what it is, I think that it would alleviate a lot of disappointment, right? And on top of that, it would avoid you getting into situations that you really don't want to be in or should be in because you recognize it for what it is. Chambers states, not being reconciled to the fact of sin, not recognizing it and refusing to deal with it produces all the disasters in life. I don't know if that hit you when I was first reading it, but that was the line that just jumped out at me. And it's absolutely true. It produces all the disasters in life. Because if you don't respect sin, then you don't give any kind of acknowledgement to the potential of its consequences. So sin deserves respect, not reverence, as I said, because sin has the power to literally ruin our lives. And not recognizing how it operates or that it even exists is the tie that binds all awful outcomes together. And whether those be in people's individual lives or on the world's political stage or among institutions that are established to bring faith and knowledge to a needy world, like it's that tie binds all of those. Sin literally permeates this fallen world, and thinking otherwise rolls out the red carpet, in my opinion, for depravity. And that is the realization that I think people need to come to in having a righteous interruption in their life and to understand that sin is everywhere around us, and that if we do not respect it and therefore do not determine to be vigilant about watching out for it against us, then we can expect to fall. That's just the nature of it. And then also coming face to face with our choices to commit sins and the fact that if we do and we live unrighteously, well, then an unrighteous consequence is what is going to come our way. And there's nobody else that can be blamed for that. It's us. I mean, as I've alluded to on a few previous episodes, is that I went through decades of my life blaming other people for the wrong that they have done to me, which indeed they did. But at the end of the day, I started that relationship, if you would, or I started rolling that stone down the hill because of a choice that I made to let them come into my life, or a choice that I made to do something that was not righteous and that started that ball rolling at the end of the day. If I had been more aware of that sin and being more in tune with the consequences that are unavoidable because that's just the way that the world works, then I probably would have saved myself a lot of heartache. In fact, I know that I would have saved myself a lot of heartache and then a lot of guilt and shame, feelings of failure that came along with that. And it was because I did not respect sin and what it could do to my life. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how it kind of works in the world, right? But then the opposite is true. I also didn't understand the power of righteousness and the power of being able to make fantastic decisions that are in alignment with God and His purpose in my life that would then cultivate, right, the fruit, if you would, that I'm now living with and enjoying eating and enjoying just benefit me throughout my life. So the opposite is also very true. And so I would encourage you that if you are looking at your life and maybe you're not satisfied, you feel as though things are just always heading in the wrong direction, you can't get any peace, you're not seeing your desires come to reality, whether you are also, maybe you're financially burdened and you don't know how to get out of it, I want to encourage you today to take a step back and think about this message and think about how much sin you have allowed to permeate your life and your decision making. And then connect all the dots, right? And be very humble about that, because it's not self-deprecating, don't get me wrong, but it's being realistic about where sin is in your life and if it's permitted and what the consequences are that you are suffering that are natural because of the choice you made. And at that point, when you start coming to, you know, the realization of that through God's love for you, which is not to chasing you, discipline, all that kind of stuff. And yes, He does, but not in that unmerciful way, right? Our God is gracious and very merciful. When you look at it from His perspective, what He's trying to do is enlighten you to see that you indeed have the power through your choice, which He has graciously given you, to change all of that. And then the moment that you do, all of a sudden, everything will change for you and there will be no looking back and having God blame you for this, blame you for that. That's what evil does. And there's no place for that in a conversation with God in which he is enlightening you to what sin does in your life. He doesn't want for you to look back in shame and in guilt. What He wants you to do is finally learn from your mistake. And you know, as we say in the intro of this show, it's if you keep doing what you're doing, you will keep getting what you're getting. So if you don't like what you're getting, then you need to stop doing what you're doing and make a correction. Because from that courageous decision to make a correction, only good starts coming out of that. Because just like destructive consequences come from sin, wonderful, amazing benefits, right, come from righteousness. That's just the way that it goes. Because moral relativism is not truth. It is black or white. And so if you want to start living in the light, you got to start making decisions that are of the light. And then once that happens, all of a sudden you're going to see that there's a beautiful transformation that will occur in your life and there will be no guilt or shame. There will just be you saying, I'm so glad that I finally woke up, smelled the coffee, and decided to start living my life in respect of sin, the consequences that it brings me, and then using my power through my understanding of what is righteous and good for me to defend myself against those consequences. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. I am Martine Helou-Allen. This is Righteous Interruption. And if you would like to listen to any previous podcasts again, or some that you may have missed, please visit righteousinterruption.com.